And when Jesus spoke again, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when Jesus said those words, he didn't say, just look at me or be attracted to me or take note of me or take good notes upon me. I am the light. Look, I'm here to just say that I am the light. Really, the key of that verse, the hinge pin of it, is that next line. Whoever follows me. Jesus announced that he was the light of the world, and so that we would follow that light. And then the result of following Jesus, the light, is that you will never walk in darkness, but you yourself will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the way that will take you out of the darkness. I will take you out of the darkness of your sin, out of the darkness of your ignorance, out of the darkness of sadness and sorrow. I am the way out of the darkness of death. Follow me and I'll lead you to life and life eternal. And that word in the original language and follow would be used in describing how a soldier would follow the orders of their commander, or how a slave would follow the commands and wishes of their master, or how a student would follow and learn from the teacher. And in all of those situations, it would be someone submitting and aligning their life to what to that who is the authority in their life. Someone that had a higher purpose for you. In our text today in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me, we once again are told as followers of Christ to follow the Lord's example. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, would you stand in honor of the Word of God? I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And it says this in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. Then tells us things we shouldn't be involved in if we're going to imitate God and walk in love. And then go down to verse 8 then. For you were formerly darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For those in the light consist of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because your days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Lord for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and be subject to one another in the love of Christ. Father, we come before you and we ask that you would shed light on our minds today. Lord, if there be any area of our life that you need to speak into, that we would recognize that that comes from the Spirit of God. And as you shed your light upon that we would act in accordance to that. Help us to be people that follow you in our daily life as we honor you. In Christ's name, amen. We've seen through this series that God's first introduction to us as his creation is that God says, let there be light, and there was light. And we looked at how the scriptures use light as a representation of God and of goodness and of truth throughout the Bible. In fact, we saw in that first week that God himself is light and there is no darkness at all. Last week, we saw that those who are followers would be the light in this world, and through our influence and through our example and the way that we live our life, people would see what we do and how we respond and the results of our thinking, and they would give glory to God because of the way and the works that we do. And we recognize that just in general in life, light helps you avoid danger. It enables you to see what's before you, what is around you, and what you're there to reach after. When you're in the dark, you can stumble, you can stub your toe, you can lose your bearings, you're in a vulnerable position, and you may walk into danger. It's interesting what night will do to heighten your senses around you. You know, there's supposed to be a meteor show this last week, and so I went out in an open field with a couple of my boys and turned off all the lights. And even sitting with the doors locked in the vehicle, just to see the anxiety being raised up as we're trying to see falling stars or whatever from it. We didn't see any that night, but I did see one this week. You know, when it's light outside, many of us will leave our house unlocked. We'll go to work. We'll go various places and stuff. But in the nighttime, when you're ready to go to bed, you say, did you lock the doors? Because why? Because darkness is a vulnerable time. Bad things happen in the nighttime. But light exposes danger. It frees you from the lurking power. And it's full of hope and promise. And the Bible says God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. What's more than that? What's incredible is that God says, I've placed you as lights in this world. And in a dark world, in a dark where it casts a long shadow over a lot of areas of our life, you are the light of the world. And today we're going to look as living as children of the light. How do we live in the light of God's love, truth, and mercy? A couple things as we build a foundation for this. Throughout the Bible, the presence of God is marked by light. John 1, 1 John 1:5, this is the message we've heard from him, from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness at all. John 1:4, it says that Jesus was the life and that life was the light of all men. And then in Isaiah, when the prophet is speaking at a very dark time, as you read in chapter 59, just a moral darkness was all over all of Israel at this time. And God is, through the prophet Isaiah, talking about the coming Messiah. And here's what he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises on you, and his glory appears to you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. See, when I live in the light, I experience God's presence. I experience God's life. The Lord is near in the darkest of moments. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 23, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The New Living Translation says, although I walk in the deep and the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Why, church? Because you are with me. God's presence is light. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again, I say rejoice. Why would we rejoice in the Lord when we don't have anything in this life it seems to be rejoicing for? What does he say there? The Lord is near. Therefore, you take your problems, your worries, and your anxieties, and you turn them into praise to God because you know he has shown his light in your life, and he will be with you. The presence of God is marked by light throughout the Bible. Then we see this. The favor of God is marked by light. When God puts his favor upon your life, you begin to see light. In fact, going back to last week's message, right before Jesus said, you are the light of the world, he went to what we call the Beatitudes. This is what he shared with his disciples prior to. And he said, blessed, the favor of God is put upon you. Those that are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for God or for righteousness, that are merciful, pure in heart, that are peacemakers, and even when you are persecuted. And he shares these character traits that his disciples will have. And he goes, my favor will be upon you, and my favor is upon you. Here's what will happen. You are the light of the world. And people will see your works and glorify their Father that is in heaven. As I began to look at this and how about God's favor expresses itself as light in our life, I was thinking what Moses told the priest, the sons of Aaron, to speak over the people. A lot of times in some churches and traditions, you'll have this in a benediction of a worship service, but it came as what the priests were supposed to do and speak this. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And notice this, the Lord make his face shine upon you. the favor of God coming into your life and lighting up your dark places, the shadowy places, and be gracious to you. So the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Don had us sing This Little Light of Mine. You know, if you grew up in the church, you heard this through the songs that we did. This week, what's been going through remember the little wordless book song? My heart was dark with sin. That was the black there. Until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed it white as snow. And in God's word, I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold to grow in Christ each day. What do, church? You remember the song? You got to sing it. You read your Bible and you pray, okay? And so, you know, we learned that this was, you know, as kids, that this was a dark world. We see it in our life, but God's favor, his grace is a light in dark places. Jesus himself, when it was announced that Jesus was being birthed, the glory of the Lord lit up the sky around the shepherds. God was the light that was going to come. In Psalm 84, 11 to 12, for the Lord is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, notice this, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So when you live in the light, when you walk in the light, God's favor comes upon your light. That's why your life. That's why John says in 1 John 1:7, if we are living in light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So let's look at three things. What does it mean? Not only just recognizing that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, or recognizing that Jesus is the light of the world. What does it mean for you and I as his followers to live in the light? And when we're talking about living the light, we're talking about living in God's presence and his favor. Well, it's not really that complicated, but let's read it. Sometimes we forget what it, the most simple things in life. Here's what it means. Living the light means I walk in the light. You know, if you're going to live in the light, you need to have a heart that is set upon following what God has called us to do. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, here's what it says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's the favor, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Basically, Ephesians is broken into two main sections. Chapters 1 to 3 is what you have in Christ. As a follower of Christ, what does that mean for your life? And chapters 4 to 6 talk about, now that you know who you are in Christ, what does that look like in your day-to-day life? And he says, who you are is that God chose us and he adopted us into his family. The one who is light sheds light on everything and everyone. He knows even the thoughts and intentions of our innermost being. And recognize, this is what God says about you if you have your sins forgiven. You are holy and blameless in his sight. That he chose us and he adopted us into his family, and that gave him great pleasure. I know a little bit about the process of adoption. And I know that one of the most common phrases that I use with my boys is, you are a Redman. This is what the Redmans do. And I'm continually reminding them of the name that they have been given, not because I can do not because I can use it as a sermon illustration, because more than anything, they need to know where they belong and who they belong to. Because if you don't know that, all sorts of insecurities are going to come out in your life. Everything is performance based. And if you try to live your life performing to be loved, it is a miserable life. It's an insecure life. God doesn't love us because we love him. He loved us first. We love because he loved us. I don't do things that God wants me to do to try to earn God's favor. We couldn't do that. Our righteous deeds are as worthless acts. They're filthy rags. We do good works because God gave us and set us and made us a part of the family. That's who you are. And God paid a great price for us to be adopted into his family, to be seen holy and blameless. It was the lifeblood of his own son. That's what Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3 really begin to talk about us. Jesus gave his lifeblood, and he tells us, remember who you are. And part of walking in the light is recognizing on a daily basis, I have a new identity in Christ. I recognize I was once in darkness. You know, here's the thing about the gospel of Christ. The gospel means good news, but it's bad news before it's good news. And the bad news is you're a sinner, you're an enemy of God, you are part of the domain of darkness. And until you recognize that, you're not ready to accept God's light. But the good news is that God didn't shy away from the darkness, but he shed his light, his own son, into our darkness. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took my sin, my shame, my past, everything in his body with him. That's why we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. See, we have to recognize who we are in Christ and what God says about us. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light, when he spoke the words over us, their sins are forgiven, you were forgiven of your sins and your identity, you were adopted in to God's family. The second point here in walking in the light is very similar, but I have a new identity in Christ. So who defines that identity? What does that identity look like? My life is formed by God's word, what God says about me. And throughout Scripture, there are a number of Scriptures we could talk about, but one we'd reviewed before, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so, God, I'm going to look at your word, and what it says about me is more important than what others say about me or what I feel about myself. God gave us the Bible, his word, to transform us, not just to inform us. Jesus doesn't want us to know these truths. He wants us to work them in to our life. That's why you'll see passages like James 1:22 that says, don't merely listen to the word of God, but be an effectual doer of the word of God. Do what it says. Don't deceive yourself. God wants our beliefs to turn into our behavior. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our life, to correct us when we're wrong, and to teach us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So if I'm going to live in the light and walk in the light of God, I'm going to bring my life in agreement with God's word. Not just in show me what's wrong and stop doing that. There's certainly a part of that. But helping me understand how I am to think and how I am to live my life, to do what is right. And God's word will radically transform our lives. You know, in the Bible, God's word is referred to as milk, as bread, as water, as meat. And when you look at that, with all what all those things have in common is that if you don't eat and drink, you die. And it reminded me of the words from back in Deuteronomy, and then Jesus repeated them when he was being tempted by Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if we're going to be living in the light, we need to allow our life to continue to be formed and transformed by God's word. So living in the light of God's presence and favor means that I will walk in the light, I will embrace my new identity in Christ, my life will be being formed by the word of God, and it also means that I invite God's light to shine upon my life. If you are children of the light, if God is light and you are children, you are brought into his family, we don't fear the light of God. And yet my experience has been in the church and even in my own life that there are a lot of things that we want to keep undercover. There's a lot of issues that we might deal with. But notice what it says here in the Word of God. This is the Amplified Version. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. How do you do that? By exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people do in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the most of your time on earth, recognizing and take advantage of the opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. The days are filled with darkness. In other words, and as we walk in the light, we don't fear the light. We recognize that sin flourishes in the dark, that Satan works his attacks under the cover of secrecy, shame, isolation, and fear. What you can't talk about controls your life. Let me say that again. What you can't talk about controls your life. And Satan will attack you in four areas of your life, and at least four areas of your life. It goes so contrary to our identity in Christ and to what God wants to form us through His Word. This isn't in your notes. You might want to write it in the side of the margin or whatever. Here are four areas that we're constantly being attacked by: our identity. Who am I? Who am I really? Who do I belong to? What is my identity in Christ? And we're attacked in our heredity. Where did I come from? And who do I belong to? You know, part of our saying in the church is that we want to be a place to be, a place to believe, and a place to belong, and a place to become. But I think God has put within every one of us a longing to belong. We long to belong. We want that acceptance. And so Satan attacks our identity in Christ. He attacks our heredity, who we came from, that we are created in the image of God with purpose. We matter to God. He attacks our dignity. Does my life really matter? Does it really have purpose in life? Is this all there is to life? And he attacks our destiny. Where am I headed? Where am I going? What is God going to do in my life? And we say around here a lot, God doesn't waste the hurt. He not only dispels darkness, but he'll turn your darkness into light. And he will work through, and he won't waste a hurt in your life. David wrote, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. That's from Psalm 32. Verses 3-5. You know, confession ought to be a regular discipline in our life. I believe those that are close to God and walk in the light of God will confess not only Him as Lord, but confess wrong attitudes, confess if we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then just a couple verses down in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This idea of saying, God, I want to open my life up before you. I want you to put your light into my life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wayward way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We're going to watch a video here, if I get one of you to turn down the lights there. This is a video about Celebrate Recovery, and we know that we're going to have kind of an initial meeting here. If this sparks any interest in you, I would encourage you to come on Thursday night and just see what Celebrate Recovery has to offer. You know, I don't know a much more difficult thing to do than to ask God for forgiveness in your life and ask Him to come and say, God, I have a new identity, and I hear all these things that you say about in my life, but I have this secret and I have this shame that keeps me from loving other people, that keeps me from letting other people love me. And so you go through the motions of church and you really do love Jesus and you have a desire to be used of Him, but you have that secret, the thing that you don't think anyone understands. I can remember one time in one of my churches, I had a guy that I was working with, and he was trying to overcome a substance abuse in his life. And he looked at a fellowship dinner, and like people like you, and he goes, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not like everybody else here. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I don't have my life all together. And I kind of did what you did. I kind of chuckled, you know. We are all broken people. And we've all either done things or had things done to us or tried to deal with those things in a wrong way. Here's the truth. We all have something to recover from. So what I'm going to be asking you to do is on Thursday night, we have this initial meeting, and we're going to try to build a leadership base to help make this a new avenue of igniting hope for families in our community. But to do that, we have to have that hope built within ourselves. I want you to commit as a result of this teaching today to pray for that meeting on Thursday, October 27th. Pray that the right people get there, that God prompts the people. And if you're one of those that God's prompting, I need to check this out. I need to see what it's about. Maybe God has really helped you recover or something, and you want to be part of helping others experience that healing and grace in your life. I would encourage you to come to that meeting as well on Thursday. On Thursday night. Look what 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7 says. God said, let light shine out of the darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Again, I love that. Glory displayed in the face of Christ. Make His grace shine upon you. Make His face shine upon you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, in broken vessels, vulnerable vessels, to show, in earthen vessels, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And then I love what John writes in 1 John, but to those who obey God's word, truly show how completely they love Him. That is, we know we are living in Him. How do we know that? Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, rather an old one that has been from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it, for darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. Walk in the light. Still, some people might say, well, I don't know enough. I don't know where this is all going to lead. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what to do next. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't know what to do next and I don't know enough information, here's what you and I both know. You know enough to start. You know enough to begin. And a word that will change your life is to begin. You need to begin walking in the light that God has given you. Walk in the light that He's given. You see, a lot of times our problem in life is that it's not that we don't want to walk in the light. It's that we want God to give us more information than what He's given us. We don't want to just know our next steps. We want Him to lay out our entire future. And God, here's the truth about our God. God's going to give you enough light for you to exercise faith in Him. Judges 13, there's a man named Manoah, and he had a wife. She was barren. An angel of the Lord comes to his wife and says, you're going to bear a child. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth, and you're going to raise him up. And here's what it says, and he will begin to deliver Israel. So what does she do? She goes back and tells Manoah about it. You can read this in Judges chapter 13. And it says, well, let's ask for the man of God to come again. And the man of God appears to the wife again. She runs to get her husband. And he basically says, what's he going to do? How is he going to deliver Israel? And then teaches how to raise this son. And what the man of God says is, you raise him along the order of the Nazarite, no wine, no fruit of the vine, no contact with the dead body, don't cut his hair, and you raise him in that. And that's the light you need right now. Just walk in the light that you're given. We're going to come in the Christmas season. The wise men from the east, you know, Isaiah 60 said, kings from east will be drawn to your, kings will be drawn to your light. What did they do? They saw a star. They saw it was different. They didn't have the word of God. They had to go and ask the Jewish priest, what does all this mean? But they followed the star, and when they lost it, they continued to look for it. All they had was a light, but they began to work in the light that they have. And then that led them to the house where the baby Jesus was, and they gave him their gifts. Let God's light of his word shine in your life, come out of the shadows, and experience the healing of Christ. Plug into his people, the church. Is it risky? Yes. Will it be messy? Definitely. You know why it's that way? Because we're all like each other. We all have messy lives. But here's what I would share. Don't let the things you don't know keep you from pursuing the things that you do know. Thursday night, October 27th, 7 o'clock, is one way that possibly can be helpful in the lives, in your own life, and the lives of those that you love. And then, if we're going to live in the light, I will live under the influence of the Spirit of God. Paul continues to write in this. He goes, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled. And that word be filled is an active tense. Be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? You're in community. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the Spirit, and make music in your hearts to the Lord, and always give thanks to God the Father in everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your notes there, you have Galatians 5:16, which says this, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. In Romans 8, Paul tells us what the result of that is. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins us with our spirit to affirm that we are the children of God. So continually allow yourself to be influenced by the Spirit of God. God says that his Holy Spirit will lead us. He'll guide us. He will direct us. He will convict us. He will correct us. He will come alongside of us, empower, teach us, and remind us, and protect us. Live as children of light, he said. And as you live that, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. In order for that to happen, you have to place yourself in an environment to be filled. You go where the source is. You go, and here he talks about being involved in the community of believers, singing to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We align ourselves to God's word. We invite his presence into my life. We ask that question, that's been around for a while, and yet I don't know a better question to ask many times. What would Jesus do? If I'm going to live in the light, and I walk in the light of obedience, and I walk in the light that God, again, God will give you as much light as you need to act in faith, to trust in him. There are many verses we could close this message out. I like this one here in Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. Isaiah 42:16. God is speaking that over his people, and I think we'll see that in increasing fashion in the months ahead as we honor him and as we live as people of light. Let's pray. Father God, you call us to yourself. You call us to your presence. You call us to live within the favor of God.